the drawbacks of super PACs.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today is Super Tuesday, the biggest day so far in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. 10 states will hold primaries or caucuses. But in some of those states, some candidates weren't organized enough to get on the ballot. As Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, campaign organization is one thing super PAC spending cannot help with.
In Virginia, neither Newt Gingrich nor Rick Santorum could gather the signatures needed to appear on today's primary ballot. Santorum won't be on ballots in 3 of Ohio's districts, putting 9 of Ohio's 66 delegates automatically out of his reach. Even though the super PACs supporting these two candidates are flush with cash, some campaign tasks are off limits.
Because super PACs can't coordinate with the candidate, clearly they can't go about getting the signatures to get the candidate on the ballot or finding delegates.
Bradley Smith is a former Federal Election Commission chairman, now a professor at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio.
We find that super PACs are pretty good on the media end, but they don't help you get that ground game of volunteers together that is so important, especially at the primary stage.
It's a lesson Republican frontrunner Mitt Romney has taken to heart. He's reaching out for more direct contributions from smaller donors. So far, less than 10% of his campaign funds have come from donations of $200 or less. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Greece has been at the center of the European debt crisis recently, but it's worth remembering that Ireland is also trying to climb out of debt trouble after being bailed out back in 2010. When that bailout happened, we spoke with Father Iggy O'Donovan, the parish priest in the town of Drogheda, and we are happy to welcome him back right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, last time we talked, here is what you said.
We had a mighty party. We have the mother of all hangovers now.
So have you gotten over the hangover in Ireland yet?
I still think we've got a touch of the hangover. You see, Ireland came through probably about 15 years of what was called the Celtic Tiger. So we came from an almighty party, if you like. The thing came to a shuddering halt. But, of course, since we spoke, our friends from the IMF and the European Central Bank and others have arrived. And, in effect, Ireland is now being run from Berlin.
And when you say the Celtic Tiger, you're talking about the big boom that Ireland experienced.
Yeah, that was the expression that was coined for the Celtic Tiger. Nowadays, we are talking more about the Celtic Snail.
Now, Ireland has had to go through a lot of what are called austerity measures, big time budget cuts and tax increases. What's that been like for the people who live there?
It's been tough. The ECB has arrived. The IMF have arrived. And they have simply been all over the place, swinging budget cuts, cutbacks in all the major spending departments, particularly in the fields of social welfare, education, health. So very, very many people are feeling the pain. Many people are pointing out that as far as the ECB and the IMF are concerned, we're the good boys in the class. We have done what we were told. Like you will have noticed on your TV screens, the Greeks took to the streets. The best the Irish did was that they kicked out the government. In many ways, maybe it's part of the strength of our democracy that most people were happy to leave it at that. And there hasn't been literally any social unrest or problems of that sort.
Do you wish you weren't in the euro? Do you think it would have been easier if you had just left the euro?
We would have had much more control over our affairs. For example, because of the policies followed by the European Central Bank, cheap money became available in a massive way from the Germans and the French, who were disciplined themselves, but they gave it. If you like, they threw the whiskey at the alcoholics. And by God, did we drink it.
You know, your sermons must be fantastic.
Well, I'd like to think so. But I also like to look at the bright side. It has been a massive surgical operation carried out on a patient who thought he was in good health. But while we're in the intensive care unit, I think we may be just about off life support.
Father Iggy O'Donovan is our man in Ireland, joining us from Drogheda today. Thanks so much.
God bless. Thank you very much.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, down more than 1.5% in Frankfurt and more than 2% in Hong Kong as investors digest yesterday's news out of China that economic growth in that country will slow down this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 14 points to close at 12,952.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Now to a scandal in the NFL. League investigators met yesterday with former New Orleans Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams. He's apologized for running a bounty scheme that rewarded players for injuring opponents. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
For getting someone carted off the field, New Orleans Saints players were apparently paid $1,000. Knocking a player out of the game? $1,500. Still, sports economist Andy Zimbalist says the real incentive probably wasn't money. After all, the average NFL player makes more than $1 million a year.
It's the players who want more recognition. Player who's still trying to make it, who is going to be more susceptible to this kind of an environment.
The punishment from the NFL could involve hefty fines and suspensions. But the fallout from the bounty scandal could backfire in other ways, says sports analyst Matt Powell. He says endorsements and merchandise sales rely heavily on fans feeling good about a team.
And this may move some fan sentiment in the opposite direction. So this could end up hurting some teams in the pocketbook in terms of licensed product sales and maybe even ticket sales.
Powell says football fans usually don't mind a little unnecessary roughness, but this scandal may have crossed the line. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, 100 years ago today, Ohio had more people than California and Florida combined. Ireland was excited about having built the Titanic, which was about to set sail. And the NFL was increasing the point value of a touchdown from 5 to 6. Well, also that year, the North American biscuit company Nabisco unveiled the Oreo cookie. Sales worldwide for the Oreo hit $2 billion last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.